Good afternoon and welcome to the 2023 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall call. We will give individuals just a minute to join us, but my name is Katie Stewart. I'm the Director of Healthcare Ratings at the Leapfrog Group, and thank you for joining us. So I will just advance one slide to go over some reminders about joining the webinar while we wait for individuals to join. Okay, so we will go ahead and get started. Again, my name is Katie Stewart. I'm the Director of Healthcare Ratings at the Leapfrog Group. And today you are joining us for our 2023 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall call. This is one of three town hall calls we are doing, and they all will have the same content. So please be mindful and just register for one of those. But we are happy to have you today. I will start by just saying slides will be available. They'll be posted on our website. And they also will be accompanied by a recording of today's call. So stay tuned for that. And then just a note about accessing the audio. Hopefully you've done that because you can hear me. But also just a note that we don't monitor the chat during the session. What we do monitor is the Q&A. So please go ahead and if you have a question at any point during the call, you can go ahead and find that Zoom toolbar, usually at the top or bottom of the screen, hover over it and click Q&A. A member of our team will be there to assist you. We will try to take a look at some of those questions throughout the call and answer them in real time as well. But we will also be just reviewing that during the session. At the end, we will do a live Q&A session, so feel free, you can raise your hand virtually, and we will call on you to unmute yourself and ask your question if you don't feel like using the Q&A function. So plenty of opportunity to get the answers that you need today. And with that, we will go ahead and get started. So what is our annual kind of survey process? I think you know that we update the survey every year. So from August to September, we take a look and work with our expert panelists and we set goals. We review the latest measures, any changes to endorsement status for those nationally aligned measures. We consider member and hospital recommendations from the previous year, and we outline those updates. And in November, we publish our proposed changes to the survey for at least a 30-day public comment period. And we invite you, as well as other stakeholders, to provide feedback on those changes. So this year, we received nearly 200 comments, and those were all used and considered, rather, when we finalize the survey changes. And we respond to all of those public comments as well when we publish our summary of changes in March. But with that, we also do a pilot test generally in January So those of you that participated, thank you. We had an overwhelming response and interest and selected about 30 hospitals and health systems nationwide to participate in that pilot review, which consists of reviewing the PDF of the survey or word copy of the survey and scoring algorithms and providing feedback on the questions, the measure specifications, the algorithms. And so that pilot feedback, as well as your comments, are considered. And in February and March, we finalize our materials and we program the online survey tool. We publish a summary of changes, as I mentioned, and then we launch on April 1st. And then we, of course, start the process again. So, you know, we're April 13th today. We did launch the survey on April 1st. So you have all of those survey materials available to you. So all of the changes and updates that I'm going to talk about today, you can review those all in the hard copy of the survey, in the summary of changes document that we made available, which is still published and available to you. And all of those survey, you know, supplemental materials are available as well. So you can get started with your submission process and get ready to report by June 30th. So when we take a look at the survey each year, what are our goals? So our goals are to really expand the survey to more hospitals by including measures that are relevant to rural, urban, and pediatric hospitals. Of course, we are a purchaser-driven organization, so we're always going to look for measures that are important to those purchasers. So, you know, large employers that buy healthcare, what's important, of course, to consumers as well. We also want to keep the reporting burden as low as possible while also, you know, ensuring that we can provide information that's meaningful. And so to do so, we look at aligning with other national performance measurement initiatives. So that includes entities like the Centers for Disease Control and their surveillance network known as NHSN, certainly CMS, the Joint Commission, applicable registries like the Vermont Oxford Network or STS. And of course, we want to include cutting edge measures that improve safety, quality, and efficiency of care delivery. And balance that with maintaining a consistent measurement structure so that hospitals and you all can use those survey results for benchmarking and improvement purposes, right? It doesn't help if we're constantly changing things up and you can't see your progress over time. So we, you know, also want to have those surveys results used so that there's a benefit to you reporting, that data gets used not only by you for quality improvement, but also it is used by employers and purchasers and payers in value-based payment programs. So the measures we include are going to be relevant to that as well. So it's April 1st and we have that survey available to you. What you'll see is that we have 9 sections now. We moved things around a little bit. So there's 9 sections and each of those sections is really organized in the same way. And we try to align the survey in terms of what we call the hard copy of the survey, which just means that Word doc or PDF version that you can download on our website and the online hospital survey tool where you actually enter your responses. So in the hard copy, you'll find general information about the standard. And that's only in the hard copy. And then you'll also have the reporting periods, which are in the tool as well. The questions themselves, which also sometimes have endnotes. Both of those are in the survey tool. And then the affirmation of accuracy that your hospital CEO or CAO or the individual they delegated responsibility affirms the accuracy of responses for each section. And that's in the online survey tool as well and needs to be completed in order to, you know, check for data verification and then eventually submit your survey. And then the hard copy includes the reference information. And that's not in the online survey tool, but it's super important. It's not possible to complete the survey without looking at that reference information. So you're going to find frequently asked questions, But you're also going to have very detailed measure specifications and instructions for some sections, like maternity care, in terms of how to get the what codes to use to get your numerator and denominator and what parameters to look at if you're doing chart abstraction, or for medication reconciliation, how are you sampling, how are you auditing and accessing the information you need to respond to the survey. So definitely make sure you refer there. And we always recommend completing a hard copy of the survey, whether that be, a printed copy that you print out or just on your computer before you go into the online survey tool and fill it out. I do recommend taking a look at that electronic version, whether it be a Word copy or a PDF, because we hyperlink everything. So if you have an EndNote, you can easily get there. Or if you want to link directly to the reference specifications, you can do that. So certainly if you're dividing the survey up and using your colleagues to help you, which I think many of you are, make sure they have a copy of that electronic version and can reference everything, the EndNotes at the end of the survey, as well as the questions and then the reference information. So to submit in 2023, we do have an update in terms of the required sections. So section one, which includes basic hospital information, as well as section two, medication safety, section four, maternity care, section five, ICU physician staffing, section six, patient safety practices, and section seven, managing serious errors, are required in order for you to actually submit the survey to us and have it scored and publicly reported. Section two now includes not only computerized physician order entry, but barcode medication administration and medication reconciliation. So you do need to submit both of those. If you're not reporting on the nationally endorsed medication reconciliation measure, you can indicate that and will be scored accordingly, but you do need to submit that section. This means that you will have submitted also, if you're eligible for a safety grade, all of the sections that get included in that safety grade. So that's an alignment there. We do encourage you, of course, to submit all sections of the survey. It is required if you want to be eligible for top hospital and some of the other accolades we do, and you'll be able to indicate if a measure doesn't apply. And of course, you'll be reported as declined to respond if you don't submit a section for all measures in that section. The CPOE evaluation tool is for adult and general hospitals, and that will be available to you once you complete the profile. So when you first log in, it'll prompt you to do the profile before you can even access anything. And then once you do that, you'll see that you can navigate to each section of the survey, and you'll also be able to take that CPOE tool, and that button will appear to you. So what about the deadline? So keep in mind, June 22nd, is when you need to join our NHSN group, if you haven't already, in order for us to download that healthcare associated infection data. And also for us to pull teaching status information and have that available for your June 30th submission and publicly reported on July 25th. Of course, we make a preview available to you on July 12th, but that is the deadline. So many of you, if you've participated in the past, are in our NHSN group, and that's great. But you'll just want to make sure you've reviewed your rights template and also that you download that data on the same day that we do, which would be June 23rd. And so take a look at our NHSN website. We provide all of those instructions. And again, you don't need to rejoin, but we do ask that you look at that rights template and accept it and download the reports on the same day that we do. June 30th, if you remember one date. I hope it is June 30th. So get your surveys submitted by June 30th, again, with all of those required sections completed, and you'll have those results publicly reported on July 25th. They'll also be available to you for preview on July 12th on your secure details page. And if you don't submit a survey, you will be publicly reported as declined to respond starting July 25th and until the survey is submitted. So July 12th, I mentioned, that is when we make the details page live. So you can see your NHSN data we pulled or the data we got from the Vermont Oxford Network if you participate with them, the outpatient measure from CMS. And then we update that page every month following your submission. So if you update and resubmit in August, you'll see that that page gets updated in September. We start publicly reporting on our website on July 25th. So if surveys again aren't submitted by that deadline, you would be reported as declined to respond. August 31st, it is our top hospital deadline. So if you want to be eligible for award, make sure your survey's in by then. And it's also the data snapshot date for the safety grade for fall 2023. That means it's when we pull the data from the survey, as well as data that's publicly reported from CMS for use in our safety grade. So all of the data needs to be finalized by that date. So if you remember the June 30th date, then you've submitted your survey, and that means that you have plenty of time to review your results that are going to be available starting on the details page on July 12th. And respond to any data verification messages you received in July and August before this August 31st date. And so that's why we really want to encourage you to submit by June 30th so that you have plenty of time prior to these deadlines here on August, in August 31st, to make sure that data is final. November 30th is the late submission and performance update deadline. So this is really giving hospitals an opportunity. Maybe you missed prior deadlines and want to submit a new survey, or maybe you want to update to reflect a performance change. So you can do that until November 30th. And after November 30th, the survey closes to new submissions. The CPOE evaluation tool can also be taken until November 30th. After that date, it does go offline. And after November 30th, only hospitals that previously submitted a survey can access the online survey tool and make data entry corrections or reporting corrections. And you know, maybe that's in response to one of our monthly data verification emails we sent. January 31st is when those corrections would need to be submitted by. And then after that, the whole tool goes offline. So all of this information is available on our deadlines website. So I encourage you to take a look and make sure you're prepared for all of that. So before I move on, I am just looking through the Q&A, which everyone should have access to. So one question is, will we get a sample test for CPOE? And yes, as in years past, you have a sample test and you can take it as many times as you like. And we certainly encourage you to do so prior to taking the adult inpatient test. It's really designed to give you a sense of how the process for the test works and make sure that your computer and your IT, it's able to handle the test. In terms of NHSN, do you need to renew? So no, you don't need to rejoin, but we do ask that you review that rights acceptance template and ensure that we have access to all of the units and locations where we pull data. So when you remap things in NHSN, that does impact the data we receive. And so you just want to make sure that that's current. Okay, so moving along, And I think this will address another question we had in the chat. So ensuring data accuracy, we have several protocols in place to ensure the accuracy of the survey responses submitted via the tool and the results that we report. And it starts really with the affirmation of accuracy that we talked about, that's completed by the CEO or their designee, and is affirming the accuracy of the responses submitted in each section of the survey. We also have warnings in the online survey tool. So in addition to logic built in, we have warnings that will appear that check responses against various thresholds or against different sections, like did you report an ICU in ICU physician staffing section, but didn't report on that in the basic information section, and we'll flag that. So you'll still be able to submit your survey if you get one of those warnings, but we do encourage you to reach out to our help desk sooner rather than later, so we can work with you to either update or provide documentation and have that resolved. Then there's our extensive monthly data verification. So we're including some of those warnings or all of those warnings in the tool, but also additional things. So we are using national and internal benchmarks, and we're doing comparisons with prior survey years. And we are sending out email notifications to the survey contacts and system contact and asking you to review those responses and possibly also provide documentation to us. So do take a look at that. We start that in July, and it's really important that you address those items within the month received. Otherwise, for some of those messages, we do start publicly reporting your responses as pending leap frog verification. We also do monthly documentation requirements. So we randomly select hospitals to submit documentation on various sections, like the safe practices. So it's always important to make sure you maintain your documentation, and we have a survey binder that you can use to help with that, and be prepared to respond to those requests. And then lastly, we have a virtual on-site data verification program where we work with facilities, and it has been virtual due to COVID, but we randomly select those facilities and do a more in-depth virtual verification each year. So all of these things, by virtue of submitting a survey, you're eligible to be selected. We review every survey response. So every survey submitted to us goes through the, you know, warnings in the online survey tool, goes through our data, our monthly data verification, and is eligible to be randomly selected for a monthly documentation or the on-site verification. We do notify those verification, virtual verification facilities in advance. And of course, just keep a lookout for those monthly emails from us. Okay. So what are some of the major updates for 2023? Again, you can refer to our summary of changes document, but I want to talk just about the major changes to today and provide some information. So we already talked about the sections moving. So for BCMA and medication reconciliation, we did move that to section two, medication safety, and all of that includes CPOE still, as well as the EHR application information. And all of that is contained in section two now, and it's required as it has in years past. We've also moved the nurse staffing and skill level measures into section 6C, which is nursing workforce. So there's four nursing workforce measures in section 6C, and then some elements from NQS Safe Practice 9, which we will go into further detail on in just a minute. And then we also, again, made the CPOE tool button available to you after completing the profile. So you'll see that right next to section two. And then in order to have those test results included in scoring and public reporting, you do need to, of course, submit a survey, which includes completing, affirming, and submitting section 2, as well as those other required sections. Another big change you'll see is the CBT code workbook. So that contains the codes that you need available to you to report on some of the outpatient procedures in section 3 and section 9. And you do need to complete the American Medical Association's terms of use in order to access it. And so you will see that CPT workbook button next to section 9 on the survey dashboard. And you will need to complete it at least once per survey cycle. And it does need to be accepted and downloaded before you can actually access section 9 of the survey. Okay, in terms of measures for section 1, one big change is that we are starting to score and publicly report for informed consent. So we had informed consent questions on our survey last year, and we took a look and worked with our expert panel and our advisory group and included 6 questions to use in scoring and public reporting. So that includes 1 question from policies and training that really focuses on staff training on the consent process policies to make sure that all staff are trained and that informed consent is done in a consistent way. There's also 3 questions we're including from the content of the informed consent forms, and that focuses on detailing expected difficulties with the procedure, naming individuals who will be involved with the procedure, and ensuring consent forms are at a 6th grade reading level. And then lastly, we have the process for gaining informed consent domain that focuses on medical interpretation and a teach-back method to make sure patients understand what is being explained to them. We've removed some questions, and then we've retained some questions that are really optional and for fact-finding purposes only. So the scoring algorithm is available to you, but to achieve the standard, which is that 4 out of 4 cell phone bar we display on our website, you will need to indicate that yes, all forms are written at a 6th grade reading level or lower, and then yes to the remaining 5 questions in the policies and training section, content of informed consent forms, and process for gaining informed consent. So you can take a look at your survey and see how you would score and publicly report now. We did update the CPOE evaluation tool. You may recall that it migrated to a new platform in September of last year. So if you haven't taken a test in that new platform, please do take a sample test. Again, that sample test is meant to ensure that your systems can handle the test and your printer is hooked up and everything, and that you understand the process and the steps. It doesn't give you a score, and it's not meant to give you a complete sampling of the orders or patients that you will see in the test. But we do encourage you to do so if you haven't already before you take that adult inpatient test. So we did update the test order library. We are removing the drug allergy order checking category due to sustained high performance in the category across all hospitals over multiple years. And we also combined the drug dose single and drug dose daily order checking categories into a single order checking category renamed excessive dose. So we have not made any changes to the scoring algorithm, although the number of test orders has decreased slightly. In terms of adult and pediatric complex surgery, we have new procedure codes for bariatric surgery to include outpatient procedures. So you'll find that in the CPT code workbook. And there are no updates to the minimum. required cases per year for hospital or surgeon volume. And this procedure is also being added to the ASC survey, and we intend in 2024 to make bariatric surgery information in terms of outpatient volume, add it to the procedure search on our website. There's updated sampling instructions for the Safe Surgery Checklist in the adult and pediatric surgery section, and it impacts hospitals that are only sampling for section 3, and they would need to do 30 cases. Otherwise, it's 15 for adult and pediatric and 15 for outpatient. And then we are looking for more information on that audit in terms of, did you do an in-person observational audit, a retrospective audit of your medical records, or a retrospective audit of the EHR data, or perhaps both. We do have supplemental materials on our website, which include a workbook for you to sample and help you with responses to the Safe Surgery Checklist. In terms of maternity care, we have some questions on maternity services offered. They will not be scored, but they will be publicly reported this year, starting in July. And it focuses on midwives and doulas, the availability, breastfeeding support, vaginal delivery after a C-section, and postpartum tubal ligation. One question we've gotten is if postpartum tubal ligation, if you're just doing that and offering it for C-section patients, that have, obviously, asked and requested and for the procedure, that is fine. It doesn't need to be for all patients, but just, offer to patients where appropriate. We've also included fact-finding and optional questions for NTSV C-section, focused on the stratification of cesarean birth rates by racial and ethnic category. So hospitals are asked to report denominators and numerators for the cesarean birth measure by different racial and ethnic categories. Sampling is not available for this. You would need to report on all cases. However, if you are reporting this to US News or to the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative, you can use that data as well when reporting to us. For section 6, patient safety practices, the biggest changes for nurse staffing and skill mix. So we mentioned in the nursing workforce section, there are 4 measures which you reported on last year, and those include total nursing care hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, nursing skill mix, and the percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared. All 4 of those will be scored and they will be publicly reported on our survey results website. However, only 2 of those will be included in the safety grade and in the value-based purchasing program this year. And those are the first 2 listed. So total nursing care hours per patient day and RN hours per patient day. We are maintaining 5 of the 17 elements from NQF Safe Practice 9 that aren't captured through these nurse staffing and skill level measures. And essentially, it will not be reported as a standalone measure, but is really used to kind of boost the score for those hospitals that earn the bottom performance category, which is limited achievement on nurse staffing and skill mix measures for total nursing care hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, and nursing skill mix. They can earn some achievement if they are meeting all of these elements, or if they are a magnet or a pathway to excellence hospital. So again, that's only if they're in the bottom category, can they earn some achievement if they meet the elements of NQF Safe Practice 9 that we've included. Otherwise, we are scoring based on these scoring algorithms where the total number for total nursing care hours per patient day, this is the total number of productive hours worked by employee or contract nursing staff with direct patient care responsibilities. And we focus just on medical, surgical, and med-surg units. And to score for this measure, we place hospitals in cohorts. So there are five cohorts based on teaching status and bed size, and then also pediatric and critical access hospitals. And when scoring, hospitals are only compared to those hospitals within the same cohort. And we look at comparisons with the 50th, 25th, and 10th percentiles. We'll calculate those percentiles based on 2023 surveys that are submitted as of June 30th. However, we have provided some early benchmarking based on prior years, along with our summary of changes. So for scoring for the total nursing care hours per patient day, for your particular cohort, in order to achieve the standard, you would need to have a score greater than or equal to the 50th percentile, again, just for your cohort. The same goes for RN hours per patient day, which is just focused on the total number of productive hours worked by RN nursing staff with direct patient care responsibilities. Again, focus just on those specific units, placing you in a cohort, and then comparing you to the percentiles. And again, 50th percentile for achieve the standard. And then the other categories, so on and so forth. You can see the limited the sum achievement alternative, again, is based on the NQF Safe Practice 9, if you are meeting those additional elements and previously would have scored in the limited achievement category, which means you are performing less than in the less than the 10th percentile for your cohort. Nursing skill mix is the total number of productive hours worked by RN nursing staff with direct patient care responsibilities. Again, just in medical, surgical, and med-surg units, and we will place hospitals in the cohort. Those cohorts are based on your annual hospital survey with NHSN, the teaching designation we pull, and the number of staff beds that you report in section 1A of the survey. And based on that, we will again compare you to that cohort with being greater than or equal to the 50th percentile, earning achieve the standard. The last measure for nursing workforce is percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared. So we have aligned with the national goal, and to achieve the standard, your total number of employed RN nursing staff with direct patient care responsibilities who have a BSN degree or higher would need to be greater than or equal to 80%. Okay, those are the major changes. Of course, there are additional, you can look at that summary of changes. And of course, always look through the survey and make sure you're using the most recent copy of the survey, 2023, to answer the questions. So I will pause just briefly to see if there's anything to address in the chat. So as I mentioned, we do have some benchmarking information available for the nursing workforce measures that is available on our website, and we can make sure we link to that as well, and we can send that. And I'm just quickly looking through. One great question. So Christine asks, how long should hospitals retain supporting documentation? So we certainly recommend that you can keep that documentation for the entire survey cycle. And additionally, usually we recommend also a year later. It's a good reference. So if you keep, if you have the 2022 documentation, we recommend holding on to that while you complete the 2023 survey. You know, things change, but it can be a good reference, especially if you're using that survey binder. It will provide areas for you to kind of include the report parameters you used, which can be really helpful as you pull reports for the current survey cycle. Another question we got is if informed consent is included in the safety grade. And no, informed consent is not one of the measures included in the grade. I will go back a few slides, but one document we make available on our website, excuse me, is our survey overview document. It's a great place to see not only where measures are nationally aligned with other groups like CMS and CDC or the Joint Commission, for example, but also what measures are used in the safety grade. So you can take a look at that document. It's on the Get Started page of our website. So I mentioned one thing we did for ease is that we've somewhat aligned the required sections with what's used in the safety grade. That's not to say that everything that's required is used, but some of it is. So the measures that are included in the safety grade come from section 2, medication safety, and specifically CPOE, computerized physician order entry, and barcode medication administration. We also include section 5, ICU physician staffing, section 6, patient safety practices. So that will specifically include NQF Safe Practice 1, NQF Safe Practice 2, the two new nursing workforce measures I mentioned, total nursing care hours per patient day and RN hours per patient day, and of course, hand hygiene. And then also from section 7, specifically 7B, the 5 healthcare associated infection measures. And again, we outline all of those measures that are included in the safety grade in the survey overview document. Another question we got was, how will the scoring of section 2 change with the addition of BCMA and medication reconciliation? It won't change. So all of those measures are reported separately. So we've always scored CPOE, BCMA, and medication reconciliations individually, and we'll continue to do so. So no change there. Another question, monthly requests for documentation. One was asked if this is done during the survey or annually, and it's done monthly throughout the survey cycle. So we actually start that no later than June 30th responses. So you can expect to receive emails from us, and our monthly data verification starts in July, and just random monthly documentation requests throughout the survey cycle. I want to go back quickly before I move along to the nursing workforce, because we did get some questions about the scoring. And this is another big change, and one also that will be used, two of those measures again in the safety grade. So bear with me. So I just want to show the scoring algorithm for total nursing care hours per patient day. We ask about magnet status or ANCC pathways to excellence as part of the NQF Safe Practice 9 element. So if you are magnet or an ANCC pathway within the required year, you get credit for NQF Safe Practice 9. But again, that's not publicly reported separately. It's really just used as a component of scoring for the first three measures in the section. It doesn't mean you're going to achieve the standard. It's not possible to achieve the standard with magnet status alone. What it means is that if you report on total nursing care hours per patient day, and you perform less than the 10th percentile, so you're in the bottom category, you can, instead of limited achievement, boost your score to that of some achievement if you are meeting the NQF Safe Practice 9. So it's just used as kind of extra credit that can help your score. Otherwise, you do need to be greater than or equal to the 50th percentile for the cohorts I mentioned in order to achieve the standard. Okay. And for I will mention, you know, of course, when reporting on the survey, always refer to the reporting periods. They do vary by section, and that will be important. And as one of the reasons why we afford the opportunity to update and resubmit your survey throughout the survey cycle through November 30th for a performance update. Information on how the two measures included in the safety grade for nursing workforce will be scored for the safety grade will be finalized and open for public comment later this year. So how are survey results used? You know, you go through all of the efforts of reporting on the survey. We hope that you use them for quality improvement internally, but also this data is being used in many other ways and it is really important to LeapFrog's purchaser and employer members that use the information to educate and inform their health plan enrollees, to also recognize and acknowledge hospitals and ASCs that achieve our national standards. I'm going to a meeting next week that does just that. And to negotiate contracts with their health plans, which means, you know, maybe that's including survey results in their member tools when you go on your insurance website and select where to get care, or in direct contracting with those hospitals and ASCs. Consumers also go to our free public reporting website so that they can compare hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers and find a place when they're seeking care. Maybe they have an upcoming labor and, you know, delivery admission and they want to shop for maternity care. They go to our website and see and compare hospitals in our area or in their area rather. Health plans and transparency vendors and others use survey results to design consumer education, to look at markets, to inform their contracting decisions. And for all of those purposes, they must license the data from us for a fee. And that is how we support our programs. And of course, make the survey free to all of you that report. So this is our public reporting website. If you haven't been here, please visit. Of course, you want to look at your results once they're publicly reported and make sure, you know, everything you've used the scoring algorithm so you know kind of what to expect, but there's no surprises. So that'll be updated and available to you on July 25th. And if you don't submit by June 30th, you are declined to respond starting on July 25th. So there's various searches. Consumers and others can do. And there's a procedure search that hospitals and ASCs can use to look at same day procedures and compare. So you can compare up to three hospitals or surgery centers or both at the same time on our website and compare kind of how you're performing. We also do summary benchmarking reports for those that submit by June 30th. But if you want more detailed information, we do have competitive benchmarking reports available to you. It puts the survey results in a really easy to understand format. You can share this with your board, with your team, and these are available to you now. So as you get ready for the 2023 survey, I recommend considering purchasing a 2022 report based on last year's data. We had record participation in the survey. And so it's a great opportunity to have up-to-date benchmarking information. You can kind of compare yourself to other hospitals like yours. And there's a variety of different cohorts for you to choose from. Some of the survey results we talked about are used in the safety grade. And that applies to general acute care hospitals. And in addition to that survey data, it also includes data from CMS. So take a look at those measures that I mentioned that are included. Again, the survey overview page is linked here. And there you can find the measures that are included in the grade. And you will have a copy of these slides that will be posted on our website. So accolades is another way that we recognize hospitals and use the survey results. We recognize hospitals that perform very well with our top hospital program. So top general hospitals, top children's hospitals, top rural hospitals, and top teaching hospitals. We recognize and award those top performers at our annual meeting each year. So you'll want to submit by August 31st. Of course, I recommend doing that June 30th date. That way, whatever we use on August 31st, you can be assured that it is final and the most up-to-date information. And then we have a media partnership with money.com. So they publish their list with guidance from the LeapFrog group. Most recently, best hospitals for pediatrics, maternity care, et cetera. And so by participating in the LeapFrog survey, you can be eligible for these lists as well. Okay, so to get ready for 2023, if you need a copy of your security code, that's available. Just email our help desk and complete the form. And all of the survey materials I mentioned today and the scoring algorithm shown on the slides, they're all available to you on our website. They were posted on April 1st. So take a look. Again, complete that hard copy before you go into the online tool. If you need help, we have several free resources as well as paid resources available to you. So everyone has access to our help desk. It's staffed from 9 to 5 on business days. And we do take and respond to all those tickets within 1 to 2 business days. We have these town hall calls throughout the survey cycle like today's. We've published case studies on our website about how hospitals have used reporting to the survey to galvanize change and improve. So take a look. And then we have that survey binder I mentioned, which can be really great as you organize your documentation throughout the year. Some of those paid resources include our monthly webinar series. So we provide that to those that might benefit from a more interactive presentation of survey materials. And it includes each month a new topic, a webinar, and we include a live Q&A session. And then we also new this year have monthly office hours where we sit on Zoom and wait for those to join us. And they always do, which is great, and ask questions just about our programs and we can help them in real time. So that is available and joining today, you will access archived webinars and be able to join us on those office hour sessions as well, which we have one today. Health system support. So if you're in a health system, whether that be, you know, just a few hospitals or a large health system, we have a data subscription service designed to help survey coordinators and health system leaders become experts in the survey and safety grade and just really make it easier to coordinate and monitor performance on the survey and safety grade. And so you can find more information on our website and reach out to our help desk for to sign up. So with that, I want to thank you all for joining us today. I will take a look at the Q&A. And if you have a question, I invite you to raise your hand and certainly we can call on you. So I see a question from Karen. Karen, if you want to go ahead and unmute, we'd be happy to address. And I will go ahead and ask you to unmute and let me know. You should be able to unmute and ask your question, Karen. Okay. Karen, it does look like you're still on mute. Okay, while we're waiting for Karen, again, if you want to ask a question in real time, you can use the raise hand feature and I can call on you. Otherwise, I will go to the Q&A and see if we have any additional questions. One question we had was related to the reporting period when reporting on the NQF safe practices, safe practice one and safe practice two. So it is based on current practices. So it's a great area to look to see if there are practices that you've or policies that you've started to implement and one also that you would need to review each year and make sure you have recent documentation based on your submission. Depending on the specific practice, it's within the 12 months or within 24 months. So you do need to take a look and it varies for the culture of safety survey in terms of when that survey is administered and the follow-up activities. So just take a look at each practice, it will specify. And of course, if you have any questions about whether a policy adheres to that, you can go and look at that specific practice. Or sorry, you can actually reach out to our, look at the practice certainly, but also reach out to our help desk. In terms of the nursing workforce measures, we have aligned with NDNQI for those first three measures. The specifications are detailed in the hard copy of the survey. So take a look at those. I think Sophia had a question about them. You will need to adhere to those specifications. And certainly if you have questions about them, you can reach out to our help desk and we'd be happy to review or schedule a call. Okay, I do not see any other raised hands. I will mention that with the survey opening on April 1st, separate from that, we started our embargo period for the spring 2023 safety grades. So if you're eligible to receive a grade, do make sure you go and take a look at the review website and look at preview your letter grade. And also go on our public website. You can find your previous fall grade. Print that information because it will be updated when we release the spring grades. I will see, I see a couple more open questions that just came in. Great question. So reporting periods. Some of the reporting periods in the questions say, report on the most recent 3 months or 6 months, 12 months prior to submission of this section. What we mean by that is the most recent 3 months or 6 months, 12 months, et cetera, where you have complete data. So sometimes these sections require you to pull a report from your vendor. And that means you want to use the most recent data. So if you're submitting in August, that might look like April, May, and June. Or maybe it's May, June, July. The most recent data that you would have that's complete. So, you know, it might take there might be a month lag or a 2 month lag where you can actually pull that information from your EHR or from your vendor. Another question relates to deadlines. What is the latest date you can submit the survey in order to be eligible for the fall safety grade? So I want to clarify that Leapfrog Hospital safety grades are assigned and calculated regardless of survey participation if there's enough publicly available information. However, you know, we of course encourage you to participate in the survey. And if you would like that survey data included in the fall 2023 safety grade, we highly recommend you submit by June 30th, again, so you can have that time to review your results, be included in our first monthly data verification, respond to it, and have the data final. But the absolute last deadline to submit the survey and have it included in the fall grade would be August 31st. Again, highly recommend adhering to June 30th. If you can't make June 30th, then submit in July. Otherwise, August 31st is the last date for your 2023 survey to be included in the fall safety grade. And do review those deadlines that we put on our website. If you're looking for a benchmarking report from last year, so again, we're making the 2022 survey benchmarking reports. They're available to you now. So Claudia, you can order one today on our website. We'd be happy. I think we responded to you. We can provide that direct link to the page where you can purchase one, or if you previously purchased one and need help locating it, we can resend that as well if you reach out to our help desk. But you can order that today. And if you're a system, we do have system discounts too, if you're ordering more multiple reports. So keep that in mind. And we can do custom cohorts too, if there's one that you're interested in that's not available on our website. Okay. Free benchmarking reports are only done once a year. So those were sent out in September, around September. Again, those are based on mid-year data. So just keep in mind, if you're looking for that free benchmarking report, it doesn't include year-end submissions, and it doesn't include updates to the survey that were made after the August 31st deadline used for that report. If you want a free benchmarking report for 2023, you'll want to submit your survey by June 30th. And we send those to the CEO and primary survey contact. All right, so that does conclude today's town hall call. We appreciate your time and thank you to those that joined us today. Again, we'll make the slides and a recording available to you shortly. And please reach out to us if you have any questions about your survey, and we appreciate your participation.